Hallelujah. Put your hands together again for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, praise team. You all may be seated. You're going to find out why I had them sing that song in a few minutes. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in him. Amen. Amen. If you're excited about God's promises, can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we love you, Lord. We thank you for the great and exceeding promises that you have given us, by the which we are enabled to become partakers of the divine nature. Lord, we love you this morning. And as always, the entrance of your word brings light. Shine that light in our hearts today and receive all the glory and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together again one more time for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Now, stay with me. I'm going to go through this very quickly. Stay with me. We've been doing the book of Revelation, the preparation series. We're preparing for the coming of the Lord, and it is necessary for us to know these things because right there in the book of Revelation 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed are those, read the prophecy and hear the prophecy of this book and so on, for the time is at hand. Hear the words of this prophecy and read the things that are and do those things that are contained therein, because the time is at hand. So we're going to go through that. Last week, Revelation chapter 4, we talked about, the great creator, let all the heaven and earth worship him. And we're going to move into chapter 5 today and see how it all comes together in chapter 5. I love this chapter. One of my favorite chapters in that whole book of Revelation is this Revelation chapter 5, and I love it. I was excited about getting to it, and I couldn't wait to get to it. And here we are. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5, the book with seven seals and the entitlement. Amen. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, the scene changes. And we saw last week how John, he was caught up before the throne, and he saw one sitting on the throne, and he saw all the various activities from the four and 20 elders and all the four living creatures and all the things saying holy, 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 up and down and so on. And all heaven and earth must worship him, so we see that. Now let's pick it up here at chapter 5 verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now remember, he's in this vision, and he's before the throne in chapter 4. But now, all that activity that's going on, all of a sudden his attention is drawn to something. He sees, that there's something in the right hand of him that is sitting on that throne. And this whole time, John is not describing the form or similitude of the person that sits on the throne, but he's describing all the things that are going on around the throne. Now, this time, he's zeroed in on that book. And he said, I see a book. It's actually called a scroll. I see a scroll that is written within and on the backside. Now, you don't typically write inside and outside. This is, it's a different kind of book. But we're going to look at some precedents for that as well. So he saw this book. And the book is sealed with seven seals. And so John is looking with admiration about this thing. And he's waiting to see what's going to happen. So let me draw some parallels from the Old Testament. This is a teaching here this morning. And we're going to bring out something at the end. So you stay with me. Now, the book is written on both sides. Let's look at some parallel from the scriptures. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, I'm going to read verses 15 and 16. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written both on their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. So we see, and let's see who wrote that. Look at the next verse. Who wrote that book? And the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God. Graven upon the tables. Can you say amen? Amen. So we see that the first time that God wrote something there, he wrote on both sides. You know, so right away we see a precedence here in the Bible. So there's going to be some significance to that as we go down through here. Ezekiel chapter 2. I'm going to go through quickly here. Ezekiel chapter 2. And let's pick it up at verses 9 and 10. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll, a scroll of a book therein. Next verse. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. Now, there was a hand that presented it to him. That's the hand of the Lord. You know, and inside this particular book, in this case, there were woes and lamentations. But that's different from what's in the book in Revelation. But the point that here is there's a precedence for this book being written on both sides. So we see at least two scriptures. There's more, but I'm going to move on because of time. Now, so there are some characteristics of this book. First, it was written inside and on the backside. So we've seen some precedence for that in the Old Testament. Next, it was sealed with seven seals. Now, let's see the significance of that. Jeremiah chapter 32. Let's pick it up at verse 10. Jeremiah 32 and verse 10. And I subscribed the evidence, and I sealed it, and I took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balance. And I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law of the custom, and that which was opened. So we see that in those days, you know, it was they had a custom of sealing something. They put a seal on it, you know. The kings in those days also, they put a seal, you know. We saw that in the time of Esther. The king put a seal on the writing they sent out concerning the Jews. We see that in the law of the Medes and Persians. They put a seal on something that they put out there in the days of Daniel and all those things. So there's a seal that's put on it. So that gives us a background for this seal. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 8. But what's up with a sealed book? Well, let's see what a sealed book, you know, what people can do with a sealed book. Isaiah chapter 8. Let's look at verse 16. Isaiah 8 and verse 16. It says, bind the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Now, so we see that, you know, we're talking about a book. We're talking about the book of the testimony, the scroll of the covenant. He's saying, you know, bind it and seal the law among my disciples. Now, this is a quick background here just to catch you up on what the Lord is doing. Now, Isaiah 29, verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 29, verses 11 and 12. And the vision of all of his has become unto you as, the words of a book that is sealed. So, you take a book that is sealed. You give it to a learned man, an educated person, and he says, well, you tell him, read this book, I pray thee. And he says, well, I cannot, because it's sealed. Then in the next verse, verse 12, you take that same book, and you give it to somebody that is unlearned, an uneducated person. And he says, well, I can't. I'm not educated. So either way, they can't read the book. You know, the one that's educated couldn't read it, because the book was sealed, and he can't open it. And the one that's not educated couldn't read it anyway, even if he was open. So there's some significance to these things as we see the sealing and the writing in the book. Now, let us also compare some verses here. I'm moving through this very quickly. We're going to compare one verse or one text in Daniel and another text in the book of Revelation. We're going to compare that with all of this business of sealing up this book. What is it all about? In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, let's look at verses 4 and verse 9. Daniel 12 and verse 4. It says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Verse 9 of the same chapter. Daniel 12 and 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed up until the time of the end. Well, sealed up until the time of the end gives us a clue that maybe it will be unsealed. Amen? Amen. Because he could have said, the words are sealed up forever. Just go your way, listen. But no, he didn't say that. He said, the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So at the time of the end, perhaps something will happen concerning the sealing or unsealing, you know, of these words. So that's just food for thought right there. Now, let's go back to the book of Revelation and just read Revelation 10 verse 4 real quickly. We're jumping ahead here just to show something else, but we're going to get to that Revelation 10 4 too. Not today, but I just want to read this one verse. Revelation 10 chapter 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which are in the seven thunders, which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. I mean, what is all this business of sealing things up? You know, Jesus nevertheless said, there is nothing sealed that shall not be unveiled. There is nothing hidden that shall not be made known. You know, and so forth. But the Lord did say, seal up some things. So let's see the significance. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 5, where our text is. Something significant is about to happen. Now, John is not entirely new to this business of seals or a book around a throne. So I'm going to change the picture right now. I want you to, you know, imagine in your head now. So John is used to seeing coronations, you know, associated with the giving of a book, right? So let's look at some examples in the Bible. Let's draw some parallel for this in the Bible. Now, in the olden days, when a king was about to be crowned, a few things happened. You know, when the Lord sent a prophet, they would anoint the prophet with oil, you know, and so forth. Now, he'd get a crown, maybe they'd sit him on the throne or whatever. But he also got a book. It was called the Scroll of the Covenant, you know, the testimony. He got it as well. So let me show you some scriptures of that real quickly before we go too far. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Let's read verses 18 to 20. And if they put it up for me quickly to help me so I don't have to scramble here. Thank you. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne, and he's given a commandment of how they will ordain kings and so forth. When he sit upon the throne of his kingdom, they shall write him a copy of this law in the book that is before the priests and the Levites. No, so, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it, you know, therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep the words of this law and the statutes and so forth, and to do them. You know, verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up, so that word is what's going to keep him. You know, they always gave it to the king. Give him a copy of the testimony and a copy of the covenant so he will understand. So he will not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left or so forth. So it prolongs his kingdom and that his children and so forth in the midst of Israel. So that's one precedent that, you know, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses spelled it out. All of the things that they should do after him and so on. Now, let's look at another example here in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verses 24 and 25. You know, we'll see an example here. And Samuel said unto all the people, you know, see ye him who the Lord has chosen. This was when, you know, Saul and so forth was to be anointed king. You know, that there is none like him among all the people. Saul was, you know, head and shoulders above all the people. You know, and all the people shouted and said, God save the king. So we see that Saul is about to be coronated here as king. You know, and let's read the next verse. He said, then Samuel took, you know, told the people the manner of all the kingdom and wrote in a book. See, and he said it before the Lord. There's always this book associated with some coronation when they were doing this in the Old Testament. Are you still with me, folks? Okay. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 11. I'm rushing through this so that I can get to one important point at the end. 2 Kings chapter 11 and verse 12. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 11 and verse 12, you know, here's another thing that they're going to anoint the king's son now. They're going to make him king in his place, in the place. So he brought forth the king's son and put a crown upon him, as if that's not enough. Then they gave him that testimony. They always give them this book, the scroll. You know, always give it to him, you know, and they anointed him. So there's three things that happened here. They gave him the crown, they anoint him, but they also give him the book. There's always the book, because this book is supposed to keep them straight. Hallelujah, somebody. That's right. So there was the book that was always associated. So John is not entirely new to seeing in a throne, to see, you know, a book associated and so forth. But there's an anticipation here. It looks like something is about to happen. And I don't think I'll have enough time to even preach this today. But something is about to happen. There's about to be some coronation. Because we see somebody on the throne, right? And the book, you know, is there in his hand. You know, and all that. And he's ready to do something with this book. And in the Old Testament, we're also told, you know, God gave us many things. You know, that the Lord gave them the picture in the book of Deuteronomy. He gave them the picture of what to do, how to install the Ark of the Testimony. Ark and so forth. And they put the testimony beside the Ark, you know. And then they had the cherubims and they had all of these things and so on. So, what is about to happen here? That's the question. What are we about to witness here? Well, before we go any further, let me say this. In the book of Psalm 110 and verse 1, David was a prophet. And he saw some things way beyond, you know, his understanding. But he put it out here. He said, the Lord, that's Yahweh, Jehovah. He said to my Lord, and when Jesus quoted this, when they were saying, you know, Jesus asked them, say, why do you describe, say that Jesus, you know, he's the son of David. If he's the son of David, why did David call him Lord? He was referring to this verse. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. There's something about that right hand. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Amen. Now, this book was at his right hand. You know, but, you know, it's like, you know, so what's going on? What's about to happen? So John is looking. And John understands some of all these things. And so he's looking. And John also remembered, you know, John remembered something that happened in the book of Mark, chapter 16. Now, John didn't write this part, but one of his fellow guys did. In the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 19. After Jesus gave them the commission, he said, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Oh, wow. Well, in this picture that we see in the book of Revelation, well, we see one sitting on the throne, but we don't really see anybody else. We went through that last week. But we see a book in his right hand. And we see that he's about to do something with that book. And so John, you know, is waiting in anticipation of what happens. So here comes, let's go back to Revelation chapter 5. So here comes a strong angel. Well, we don't know his name, whatever he is, but it distinguishes him from all the other angels because he called him a strong angel. So Revelation chapter 5 and verse 2. So we see that John is looking. And somebody comes out and say, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy? So there is a challenge thrown out. You know, and maybe there will be an audition. I don't know. You know, who is worthy to open this book and to loose the seals thereof? So, you know, maybe after he said that, maybe they waited a while. I don't know. We don't know exactly what happened. Maybe somebody tried to open the seal and they couldn't. Or maybe they already knew that they couldn't. But they couldn't find anybody. I mean, they looked up and down everywhere. Let's read the next verse. Verse 3. Revelation 5, 3. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. Hallelujah. Neither to look thereupon. Now, remember in chapter 4, They already said, God is worthy. Keep the children quiet, please. God is worthy. So, God is worthy. They said that. You are worthy to receive all glory, all honor, all power, and all that. Well, here, this same God has a book sealed, and he's about to hand it to somebody, and he's looking for somebody to give it to. And they look all over the place and say, no one! Hallelujah! No one was found worthy anywhere, heaven, earth, or any place else. So, John, because he knows the significance of this thing, he knows there's supposed to be a coronation with this thing. It looks like, you know, where something's missing here. Right? Is this thing not going to happen? You know, so he begins to cry. You know, in the spirit, he begins to cry. Verse 4 of Revelation 5. Let's read it quickly. Can you put that up for me? And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read it, neither to look thereon. Now, notice that John, he added reading the book into this one. They didn't say about that initially. All they said was, open the book. I mean, look upon it or open the seals. Now, John added, read the book into it, because a book is to be read. Amen? You don't just open the book just for looking at it. You know, all those scriptures I read to you when they gave it to the king, were supposed to read the book, so keep them in line, so their hearts will not go into pride and some other things. You know, so there's something about this book that needs to be read. And John was crying. So verse 5, here's the answer. After he was with him. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Now, notice the word that was used here, prevailed. That means there was a battle. There was a contest. There was a fight. There was a war. There was something going on. But he came out victorious. Hallelujah. Now, it wasn't just imputed to him. No, he got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, after they made that announcement about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, John was looking for a lion to come out. Come out of the thicket, you know, the Lion of Judah, and roar with a loud voice and do some mighty things. But what did he see? Now, this is the secret of how Jesus got that, you know, book. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 6, what did he see when he looked around? And I beheld, he was looking for a lion. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lamb. But where is the lamb? Stood a lamb as he had been slain. Well, still bloody lamb and everything like that. Some meek looking thing. Some, you know, weak looking thing and so forth like that. You know, but he also had seven horns and seven eyes. And immediately John understood in the spirit within himself that these seven eyes and these seven horns are the seven spirits of God sent forth to all the earth. We covered that already in Revelation 3:1, where Jesus said, I'm the one that had the seven stars and all that stuff. You know, so, wow. Announcement for a lion, but here comes a lamb. And let's see what happens in next verse. Verse 7. And this lamb came and took the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. It wasn't given to him. He took it because he prevailed. He came and took the book. Hallelujah. Out of the right hand, because they're looking. Let's see who can come and take the book. They can make a movie. I can make a movie out of that, because you know, this weekend when I was thinking about it, I was seeing a lot of things. So I said, wow, this would be great. You know, all the movies of all the people that tried to come near this book and how they were blown away. But this guy, he came and he took the book. Hallelujah. So let's see what happened when he took the book. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 7. This is why this chapter here is my favorite chapter in the book of Revelation. When he took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors and the prayers of the saints. They represent the saints now, those 24 elders and so forth. And they sang a new song. Oh my. A new song. And they said, thou art worthy. They're singing to the Lamb now. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou, now notice, why was he worthy? The reason is right here in this verse. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to take the book and to open the seals, because thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and so forth. And you have made us kings. And you have made us priests unto our God. And we shall reign upon the earth. But first, how did he get it? Well, I have a few minutes left, but I'm going to tell you, this is the most important part of this message. I'm going to tell you how he got it. Hallelujah. How did he get it? How did he earn this? Hallelujah. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Quickly from verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, who was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Then what happened? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Thou was slain. Hallelujah. Even unto death, even the death of the cross, which is a shameful death. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven. That's the 24 elders, that's the cherubims, that's angels, that's anybody. Of things on the earth or under the earth or anywhere else, they should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God and the Father. Now, this is the problem with all the peoples of the world that don't want to accept Jesus Christ as King. They'll never make it to the throne. Because God has made, listen to this, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. After Peter preached that wonderful message, he told them, he said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom he crucified. He has made him the Lord, and he has made him the anointed one. He has made him the Christ. He has made him the Messiah. Hallelujah, somebody. That's God. He chose to do that. And Jesus, as the Lamb, he will reign forever. Now, if you're not willing to accept Jesus as Lord and God and Savior, you're not likely to make it. Because they worshipped him that sat on the throne. In verse 4. I mean, chapter 4. And now they are worshipping the Lamb. Now, that will be sacrilegious. Because Jesus himself said, thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You cannot worship God, and you cannot worship the Lamb, and worship all kinds of things and so forth, unless God said and made it so. And we see that the Lamb, God imputed all the glory to the Lamb, because he got it. He got the victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now listen to this. And I beheld the voice of many angels. Revelation 5:11. Let me read this quickly. Round about the throne, the number of the angels were 10,000 and 10,000. That's a million. And thousands and thousands. You know, it was just innumerable number of angels. They were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Now, this coronation is coming, folks. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. This is what the book was sealed. Nobody else. Aren't you glad that your salvation is in the hand of Jesus? If it was left to somebody else, nobody will pass. Everybody will fail you. But Jesus travailed for you. He prayed until blood was coming out of his forehead to get every one of you that is seated here today. And he got it. Because the Bible says the kingdom of God is like a man that saw a great prize and he sold everything and he went for the gold and he got it. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And each time they put and for emphasis to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, I told you this last week, folks, every creature which is in heaven or anywhere else, and on the earth and under the earth and which are in the sea and everywhere, no matter where they are, including Lucifer, I heard saying, blessing and honor unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now, I don't have time today to tie it together for you, but next time I will. So show you how the worship of God and the Lamb now goes into one. Hallelujah. But the promise, nothing compares to the promise that I have in you. What is the promise? Well, let's take a quick look at it as we begin to close this. What is the promise? Revelation 3 and verse 21. That's the promise. He that overcometh shall be granted to sit with me in my throne, even as I also prevailed and I am set down with my Father in his throne. That's the promise, folks. But just like Jesus did it, the way he did it, let's read a couple more scriptures. Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 26. After his resurrection, two disciples were going on the way to Emmaus, and they were wondering why all these things should happen. Jesus finally said to them, "Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Verse 26. "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then to enter into his glory?" So the road to Christ's glory was through his sufferings, folks. That's how he prevailed. And those of us that want to prevail and sit with him on his throne, you cannot do it unless you suffer with him. Amen. Now let's read that quickly. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. It says that we must suffer with him. That's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. If we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going through this very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. He said, look, if we suffer with Christ, then we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. Hallelujah. So we must be prepared, folks. It is a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Next verse, verse 12. Say, if we also, can you put off 2 Timothy 2:12? Next verse, please. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Can you say amen? Amen. So all of this is culminating into a reign and a coronation for Christ. And we're going to pick it up next time as we finish it. I want you to stand to your feet here today and think of all these things. Think of how heaven, how John was in anticipation, how he was crying because he thought that throne was, you know, that book, that coronation was not going to happen. But yes, there was somebody. There was one figure that prevailed. Hallelujah. And even though he's represented as the Lion of Judah, the king of all beasts and all the power and roaring and so forth, when he would present himself before the throne, it was as a lamb. Hallelujah. He never presented himself. Everybody else said he was the lion, but he came as a lamb. And when he came as a lamb, he got that book. Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands and worship the lamb. Yes. The lamb is worthy to receive glory and honor, folks.
There was nobody else. There was no apostle. There was no angel. There was no prophet. There was nobody else, folks, that was found worthy to open that book. But the Lord was found worthy. He prevailed to open the book. Aren't you glad? We're going to find out what's in that book, what's all about next time as we go forward in that. But today, let's just worship the Lord. Lift up your hands and worship Him. To Him that sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be all glory, all honor, all power, blessing and glory and honor and majesty and dominion and excellence and all wisdom be ascribed unto God and to the Lamb forever and forever. Remember, folks, He got it because He submitted to the will of the Father. He gave His life and He suffered and He picked it up again. And not only did He pick it up, He got the book, the scroll of the testimony, and He is able to open the seals. And we're going to find out later on when He opens our seals. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Wave your hands before Him. If you love Him here this morning, just shout the praise. I want to hear some shout. Come on, somebody. Shout the glory of God in here at the house. Give glory to the Lamb in the house. Give praise to the Lamb in the house. Somebody. Somebody praise Him. Oh, He got the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, empower Your people with the grace to live for You, to die with You, that we may also be justified and glorified with You, that we may also reign with You. Give us the grace to do the same and to prevail, to be an overcomer, to prevail over the sufferings, to prevail over. And we want to pray for all the people that are suffering all over the world for the name of Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 says, remember those who are in bonds and afflictions and so forth, as being partakers with them. Lord, for all those that are suffering for their name, for the souls under the altar that are saying, how long, O Lord? Father, strengthen those who are on earth, who are still suffering for the name of Christ, that their faith will not fail them. And give us all the grace to partake of the sufferings of Christ, that we may also partake of His glory. And everybody says, amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.